90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, our financial expert and financial guru, Ms. Marilyn Shapiro of Exceeds Expectations, is back to talk about credit and ways to improve your credit. And that's something that we all need is credit. Good morning, Marilyn. Welcome back to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning, Mr. Jackson. Thank you for having me.
So for Marilyn, for those who may not be familiar with you, can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. My name is Marilyn Chapel. I'm the founder and executive director of Exceeds Expectations Incorporated, where our mission is to end the cycle of generational poverty. We serve men and women less than 12 months of getting out of prison, as well as transitional homes, preparing men and or formerly incarcerated men and women or individuals. Just preparing them for success, giving them the tools and the resources. We also serve our youth ages 14 through 21 with a youth financial leadership program. And we teach them financial literacy, leadership, and community involvement. We have personal financial coaching as well. So as you can see, my passion is to breathe hope into the hopeless, right? Breathe hope and let people know that they can achieve their dreams. And as long as they put their mind to it, you know, together we can exceed expectations.
So, Marilyn, is Exceeds Expectations a 501c3 nonprofit?
It sure is.
And part of your vision, as you said, transforming lives by providing inspiration and education in the area of financial literacy and career development. Why is that so important?
It is so important because personal finances is 80% behaviors and habits. It's 20% knowledge. And so when we are able to get people to understand that, that right there alone allows us to be able to help others transform their thinking when it comes to money, which can also help their financial situation as far as money management. It can help them with achieving their goals, but it also can help them with making sure that they, you know, set the right financial standards in their home. So then that way it can pass down to their kids and their kids' kids.
And your mission, educate on finance, invest in yourself, believe in opportunities to achieve the impossible. Why is it so important that people believe in themselves? And even though it doesn't matter where you come from, it only matters where you're going to, that by believing in themselves, they can achieve what they may have thought was impossible.
Well, you know, goal setting is key, you know, and so as long as we make sure that people set goals, that they have dreams, you know, it helps them to be able to stay motivated, right? And so we just make sure that we're always challenging people to dream, challenge them to set goals, write those goals down, break them down into SMART goals. You know, SMART is an acronym for S is specific, M is measurable, A is attainable, R is realistic, and T is time driven. We use that tool there alone to help people break their goals down into action steps. And then we help them just focus on, you know, one step at a time. A lot of time it can get overwhelming when you look at the big picture, but we take one step at a time and we make sure that we're walking right along with them to encourage people that you can achieve whatever you put your mind to. And just believe. I think that's the most important piece of it, is believing that you can achieve it, no matter what your circumstance was yesterday, last month, last year. You can overcome any circumstance that is before you as long as you believe.
Marilyn, with the COVID-19 pandemic still raging among us and impacting our way of life, how are you reaching out and teaching people when this time of we're trying to socially distance to stay safe and prevent the spread of the COVID-19 virus?
Great question. And so with the pandemic, you know, we pivoted very quickly. What we did is we made sure that our services was transferred into online services. And so we actually set up our programs via Zoom. And so we have online opportunities, as well as, you know, we talk with people even on the phone. So, you know, we just got creative when it came to our programs, and people are engaging very well that way when it comes to their finances, because they're ready to commit. And I think that's the most important thing, is once you're ready to commit, then that's when things begin to change. And so we've been having a lot of success with our social media outlet, as well as online services when it comes to our programs.
You mentioned something earlier, mindset. How important, Marilyn, is mindset when it comes to managing your finances?
It is so important that we have our mindset in the right place. And when I say that, what I'm speaking of is making sure that we have an abundance mindset and not a scarcity mindset. Whenever we have a scarcity mindset, we're always looking from a perspective of lack, always saying that I don't have and I wish I could. You know, it's a lot of negative thinking, you know. But when we have an abundance mindset, we're always looking for opportunities. And I always like to say, you know, opportunities over opposition. So we're always looking for the positive in any situation. As long as we have a plan, write it down, right? Make your plan plain, the vision plain. Make sure you write it down. That's actually the difference between a wish and a goal. A wish is just keeping everything up in your mind, right? We're daydreaming about things, right? But a goal, and I should say a dream versus a goal, but then a goal is where you actually write it down. Everything in your mind is transferred down on paper. And, you know, as long as we write things down, we can put a plan to it and, you know, get somebody that who can help. And so, like, in our situation, we help with financial coaching, financial planning. We help with personal development. Ask us for help, and we will help you along the way. And, you know, it's all about accountability and encouragement. But most importantly, you've got to hold on to your hope.
So, Marilyn, how important is it to teach that next generation, our children, the importance of financial literacy skills and credit before they become adults?
I believe it's so important, and especially nowadays. I mean, if you think back to when our parents were, when you think back to our parents as they were growing up, a lot of times their parents didn't talk to them about finances. And then that passed on to our parents not talking to us about finances. And so it just wasn't something that you talked about in the home. And so what we want to do is we want to change that that outlook, and we want to be able to get parents to be able to speak more about finances at the table, right? So it's all about being more confident And so then that way we can share with our children even not only the good things, but share with them even the bad things, some of the mistakes that we made, and be able to share how we overcame those mistakes. I think it's very important that our kids learn how to operate a checking and a savings account, teaching them how to use a debit card versus a credit card. And if they do end up getting a credit card, it's important for them to know how to manage a credit card. But not only that, also talking to our children about credit and how important credit is. And even though we may not want them to use it for everything, it's better to have it and not need it rather than need it and not have it. But let's teach them how to use it and use it responsibly. And it's all about just, you know, just changing that outlook on our on breaking generational curses, breaking generational just baggage that has been held over many families for a long time. It's time for us to change that up by getting more financial education and just learning how to be in a better place with the right resources and tools.
Marilyn, many people have been laid off from work due to the pandemic and they're struggling to pay their monthly expenses. What are the basics that families should be striving to cover when money is limited or when one or two of the primary wage earners are unemployed?
Great question. I always say that, you know, we really should focus on our basic needs, right? So, you know, your shelter, food, you know, making sure that you have a car to drive. So making sure those three things are covered. So it's just very important that each family prioritizes their priorities and make sure that those are actually covered first.
Marilyn, what should people do if they have trouble paying their bills? I know sometimes people just decide to not pay that bill because they don't have the money, and then they get the late fees and the other things. But can they maybe call the creditor and say, hey, I've been laid off, this is where we're at, can I make a smaller payment or find some way? Because if you don't pay it month after month, those $25, $35 late fees go on to your bill. So you may have only owed $400, and by the time you get to the point where now you can pay it, you owe $800 because of the late fees. What should people do when they're in that situation?
When they're in that situation, one thing they should not do is run away from, you know, their problems at hand. You know, I always say that was the old way of thinking, where you dodged phone calls and you didn't want to talk to any collectors on your accounts, or you'll just pay it when you can, but you'll worry about it later. That was the old way of thinking. But what you should do is you should stay in communication with your creditors. So if it's your home lender, so you own a home, you're unable to make your payment, call them and call them way before the last day of the month, right? So call them ahead of time and see what options do they have for you. A lot of times your creditors, They want you to stay in communication, but they also want to go over different options with you. So then that way it will not affect your credit. And so, for instance, for mortgage lenders, a lot of times they can put you like in a forbearance. You know, sometimes they even have modifications available for you if you're having trouble with paying your rent due to life situations, right? Financial challenges, you know, to be able to try to lower that monthly payment, or maybe it might even be where they put that payment on the back end. And same thing goes for your auto lenders. They have options as well. So definitely ask your auto lender and your mortgage lenders, what options do they have for individuals who have financial challenges before them? You know, especially with the pandemic, you're not alone. You know, so many families are in the same boat, and companies, they understand that, but we have to stay in communication, and we have to be honest, and don't commit to a plan that you know that you cannot, you can't stick to. And so let them know exactly what you can do and see how they can work with you. And then as far as for like your credit card companies, they too will offer different situations for you. They may even allow you to skip, you know, one or two payments, you know, on your credit card, just, you know, so you can get back on your feet. So definitely stay in communication. Communication is key if you want to be able to protect your credit and keep it from decreasing.
And Marilyn, I know that people may not understand that, like you said, it happens to everybody. Right now, a lot of the mortgage companies have forbearance programs. And if you're in a situation where your forbearance program is getting ready to run out, pick up the phone, call the mortgage person, because they don't want your house anymore, to take you out of your house anymore than you want to come out of your house, but they just want to find a way to help you get what you need to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if your forbearance is about to run out and you don't have that lump sum, that payment to be able to bring to the table to bring it current, then a lot of times they may offer different options for you. And like I stated before, a modification may be an option for you. A refinance might be an option for you. But you have to be honest with them, so then that way they can give you the best options available for you. And so one thing that I do encourage you not to do is not to listen to other people's experience, right? Because their experience may not be your experience, and your experience may be more favorable just because you don't really know all of the details of other people's experiences when it comes to their financial challenges and how their creditors worked with them or did not work with them. So be encouraged, and you know, stay in communication with your lenders, your creditors, and just hope for the best. And just be honest, be upfront, and see what they have to offer for you.
Marilyn, we know there are rent assistance and utility assistance programs for people that may be suffering. But are there any other resources or programs to help people who may be struggling financially?
Absolutely. So one of the resources I know right here in Kansas City is Community Action Agency of Greater Kansas City. They help with a lot of different services, even when it comes to rental assistance, utility assistance. So definitely reach out to them if you are having some challenges with making your payments in those areas. But Google is our best friend, right? So, you know, you can even Google different assistant programs right here in Kansas City that can help you in your situation. And so even organizations like us, you know, we have partnerships and collaborations with a lot of other organizations that can help you in those areas. And even for, like, healthcare. You know, a lot of times when we lose our jobs and we may end up losing our health benefits, then KC Medicine Cabinet is a great resource that you can reach out to make sure you're able to still get your health coverages. You can get your dental coverage as well as your vision. So you don't have to go without. You just got to know what resources that are available to you to be able to still keep up your health, because health is wealth.
We're going to come back to that right quick. We've got a call online too, Marilyn. Caller, can you tell us your name, what part of town you're calling from, and what your question or comment is for Marilyn?
Larry, I'm in the Northland. First of all, I would like to comment you and your guests for a phenomenal program. We need to get serious about financial literacy, especially black folks, but any people. I give an extreme example. A woman lost her life because her and her family didn't have $400 bail money to get her out of jail. I always look at it as we need a emergency fund, and we need to establish that automatically by having it set up with the bank that you automatically, so much money is taken out of your account to build it up. So if we get in that mindset, we can really help ourselves quite a bit. But I can't compliment you enough on this program. It's critical. We need to be financially literate. So thank you so much for the program.
Thank you so much, sir, for calling in. And Marilyn, what you also may, people may not know about is that Truman Medical Center is not the Truman Medical Center of old, and they have what's called the Truman Discount to help people who may have fallen on hard times. They do a lot of things within the community. 211, you're not 211. Call them, and they can give you resources to different places where you in the community can go and get information and get help. So sometimes we have not because we ask not. It's not out of being a fear, but not of not knowing. And as you said, Google, calling different places, but the resources are out there to help people. And they're, all this money that was put in for rent is now they're going to start doing to help people who have mortgages. So folks, be on the lookout for that. So resources are there to help people. Don't feel hopeless. Feel helpful.
So, exactly. I love it. And one thing about it, too, is that, like you said, ask for help. You know, long are those days where you stayed silent about what was going on in, what's going on in your household. 80% of households have some kind of challenge in some way or another. And sometimes it has to do with finances, because finances affect every area of our lives, right? And so don't be afraid or be shameful to ask for help. And or even ask for suggestions or recommendations on resources. One thing about Exceeds Expectations, if we don't know, we're not going to leave you hanging, but we're going to find out. So then that way we can connect you to the right organization, to the right resources that can help you with your situation. And so I think that's very important as well, is making sure that you have connections available, you know, to who people you can call on, right? People you can call on for help, or to at least direct you in the right direction to get help.
And Marilyn, one other thing about credit, which people don't may not understand, is that good credit means you can go somewhere and get financed on a car. You don't have to go to a buy here, pay here lot, where you may only have to put a couple thousand dollars down. And then, but they've got mechanisms on the card where if you don't pay the payment on time, you're one day late, they can kill the car. So you can't go to work. You can't do the things you need to do. And these type of entities are predatory lending because they won't report to your credit. But as soon as you've went through 48 months, they're right there at the door again to offer you another loan in the same high interest rate. But that right there is money where you could be making a savings and adding to that emergency fund or savings accounts or call a reference, because the value of having a good credit, being able to get a car financed by your credit union, your bank, Ford, GMC, one of the other lenders, that is way one way right there where it primarily impacts everybody, because we all have to get to work, to the store, to pick up our children. And that is a place right there where we can start to receive a benefit of having good credit.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been there before. So I've been there before, and that's why I am so passionate with, when you set your mind, when you made up your mind that you no longer want to live in lack, you no longer want to settle with only what, you know, they have left for you. You can turn things around. You know, that happened for me. I've also experienced where I was, you know, dependent on income from payday loans. Well, once again, that's the old way of thinking, because that is not income. As a matter of fact, it takes away from your income, but it can be a vicious cycle if you get caught up in that type of lending, in those type of situations. And so one way that I was able to overcome those is, one, mindset, making up my mind that I wanted something different in my life. Two, coming up with a plan, beginning to make sure that I allocated every dollar toward my goals. I set up my budget in alignment with my goals. I did not set up my budget from just, you know, wishing. No, the actual income that I had coming in, I allocated every dollar to areas that I wanted to make sure that was paid off, but also toward my goals, meaning that if I know that I wanted to pay off that payday loan and no longer wanted to go back there again, then that's what I set aside is money to be able to pay that off in a certain amount of time. And so I allocated every dollar to a category, to a bill. And one thing that I liked about what that last the last caller had shared is an emergency fund. And so I truly believe that you got to pay yourself first. You got to pay yourself before you pay your bills. And paying yourself first is meaning that you put money aside in your savings. And it doesn't have to be $100 every payday. A lot of times we think that if we can't put this large dollar amount in our savings account every payday, then we're not going to put anything in there at all. No, if you have to start with $5, then you start with $5. You start where you are what you have. You will get to the point where you're not missing that $5. You can set that up with your employer to where 90% of your money goes into your checking, 10% goes into your savings. You know, you can set it up by percentage, or you can set it up even by dollar amount. You can even do that with your financial institution, where maybe it's, you know, $10 out of every check goes into my savings, and then the difference, the balance goes into my checking. And so it's all about taking back control of your finances and directing it, telling it where to go. I want to go back to what you were talking about, you know, cars and having to settle for, you know, buy here, pay here cars, to where they might put that instrument in your car and shut it off when you don't make a payment. So let me tell you, like I said, I've been there. I've been there when I had financial challenges. But one thing about it is, you know, when I made up my mind that I wanted better, you know, I wanted the car that I wanted, that I dreamed of, and I got I started keeping track of all of my paperwork. I started to make sure that I had a savings. I started making sure that I was making my payments on time. I started paying off debt. To make sure my credit increased. And once I got to that point to where my credit was increased and I had all my paperwork together, I remember one day looking on the online for the car that I wanted. And I remember I wanted this Infiniti Q56, right? And so I'm looking for it. And at first, you know, I'm thinking, oh, you know, that's, you know, out of my, out of reach. And so I looked for it, and it was actually in another city, an hour and a half away. And so everything that I did to try to find out about that vehicle was by the way of phone and by the way of email. Don't you know that the car that I end up have that I already had, I was able to make a trade over the phone, sight unseen, and be able to go up an hour and a half away to pick up that Q56. I took all my paperwork that I had in place, that I worked so hard to build my credit, with me, ready to show them and show them proof of my pay stubs and just everything, right? They did not ask me for not one paperwork. I actually signed and made a trade on a vehicle without showing any proof of paperwork, and I ended up getting into that car, one of my dream cars. And so I'm just a living testimony that it can happen. Things can change. If you put your mind to it, you believe that you can make a change, you can be able to experience different, you can experience abundance even in your life right now, no matter what circumstance that you're facing. you can achieve it. And so that's one thing that, once again, that we do at Exceeds Expectations is, you know, we bring the passion to the table. We bring the experience and the transparency to the table, because it's all about giving you hope that you too can achieve your dreams.
I will say this, Marilyn. When I was in the military and I was forced to be on a budget, you know, every time I got paid, I started out just putting $10 a pay period back in quarters. I didn't have any kids then, so I would put it back. And then sometimes if I had extra money, I'd go buy another roll of quarters. At the end of the year, when I took my change, Topsy's popcorn container, to get it counted, because every time I came home at the end of the day, I'd change, I would just put it in there. There was over $500 worth of change. So, folks, little bits add up to a huge mountain. And, you know, when I got there and I counted, I'm like, you know, they were like, well, you're over 400, you're over 500. And I'm like, you know, I immediately cleaned the can out, put the money in my savings account, went back home and started that same process. You know, as I got older, I had to move the can around because my kids figured out where the can was a couple of times. But then you definitely, you know, the ashtray in your car, I don't smoke, but it's full of change. You know, different things. I did things like that. So then at the end of the day, I would take the change in the house and put it in there, because you break a dollar, you're going to get change someplace. You know, use that change to start going forward so that you can achieve the goals and dreams and hopes that you want to. But we've got to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and finish up a couple of things. So you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations, and I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Our guest today is our financial guru and expert, Marilyn Chapel, and we're talking about credit. Stay tuned, right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson, hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM, and today our guest is Ms. Marilyn Chapel of Exceeds Expectations, and we're talking about ways to rebuild your credit. Marilyn, one of the things that a lot of people may not realize is that you pay more for the convenience of renting than you can to own your own home.
So true. It's so true. And so a lot of times when we're doing financial coaching and someone is renting, you know, I always ask, you know, what do you think about owning your home, your own home? You know, and a lot of times people believe that it's out of reach. And so the moment that I begin to go on to bankrate.com, I love that resource, bankrate.com. They have so many different calculators, financial calculators, that you can use to help you make wise decisions, right? And so I led one of our customers, and I do this for all, but I showed them what it would be, what it would look like if they had a mortgage rather than a rent payment. And a lot of times they're able to see that their mortgage payment is less than their rent payment for the same size of home or that they're living in, or square footage that they're living in, or they may even be able to get more square footage, more house for their money than where they're currently renting. And so a lot of times it's all about just showing what is available to them. You know, how does that look? And being able just to encourage that it's better to own your home rather than rent. And it could also be some tax benefits for you as well when you are owning your home rather than renting. Renting is just like almost like throwing your money away, right? But I understand too that sometimes that's where we have to start with renting. But if you're going to rent, make it work for you. Have a plan. And so what I mean by that, if you're going to rent, then make it be a benefit as far as make sure that you're able to report your rent to the credit bureau.
And some of the guests that I've had on, LaDonna Ali, Central Bank of the Midwest, they have a program called the Home Turf Loan. NASB, North American State Savings Bank in Grandview, they have a program where they keep these loans in-house, folks. There's grant money available to help you. And if you look at starting now, you know, if you're getting that extra money for the child tax credit, I know you may need it, but at the when next year comes to file your taxes, what I say to people is that from one tax year to the other, you can go from a position to where you are renting a home to buying a home and living in your own home at probably about 60% of what you're paying now. So, but also you have a legacy. Your children have somewhere with, you know, I remember my grandmother's house and she left it to me, you know, coming there, doing different things. You know, you can go by, you know, when you get older, you know, this is the house where I grew up. This is the house I live in. Or you still may be living in that house because that's some of the things that people enjoy doing now. And folks, those houses appreciate over years and they give you a legacy and wealth that you can pass on to your next generation, your children, and then they can pass it on to their children because of what you learned and showed them how to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's really important, too, that they make sure that they come up with a budget to be able to not only purchase the home, but to even remain and stay in the home. A lot of times, once you get the home, then it's trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to pay for this? Or, you know, I didn't account for maintenance, right? But if you do your homework and you begin to start preparing before you actually buy that home, you will find yourself not getting too much home than you, what you can afford, because lenders are going to approve you for a home loan based off of your gross income. Well, we know that we do not live off of our gross income. We live off of our net income. And so when you're able to write that and put that down on paper on how that will look, how much house you can actually afford by, once again, using the home calculator, whether it's a mortgage calculator that, you know, your financial institution offers, or once again, if you go onto bankrate.com and be able to pull up that mortgage calculator, you will be able to see how much house you can get for what you can afford. So never allow lenders to tell you you can afford this amount of house when you know what your paper says, you know what your account says, what you can afford, and stick to it. And so that's taken in consideration the principal and the interest of the payment, but also the taxes and insurance. So make sure that you're taking all those in consideration when you're thinking about, you know, a mortgage payment and what you can afford. And I kind of want to go back to, you know, as you're preparing to go from renting to owning a home and you're trying to better your credit so that way you can get the best interest rate and just the best lending terms because your credit is good. I want to go back to different resources that you can actually use to be able to report your rent to the credit bureau. So you're not able to report your rent payments to a credit bureau yourself, but it's very important that you talk to your property management company or your landlord to see who do they work with as far as reporting your payments. And so there's a resource called Experian Rent Bureau. And so as long as you have a property management company or your landlord, as long as they report your rent payment data to Experian, then now your rent payments will show up on your credit report and it can potentially help you. Of course, as long as you're being consistent with your payment and you're making your payments on time. There's also rent payment services that does the same thing, such as Rent Track, Pay Your Rent, and Cozy. Those are three rent payment services that you can also look into that will report to Experian. There's another resource called Rental Karma. They report rent payments to TransUnion. And so all of these different rent payment services, they may be a small cost to be able to utilize those services. But I always say it may be a small cost that can also benefit you. It's a price that you may have to pay that will benefit you in the long run. Rent Reporters is another resource. and they send data about your rent payments to two credit bureaus, TransUnion and Equifax. So, you know, when you're looking and you're researching on which payment service you want to go through, because currently your rent payments are not being reported to the credit bureau, just, you know, taking consideration the cost, and then just taking the consideration on that service and who they actually report to. Is it TransUnion, Equifax, or Experian? And just make sure it's right for you. So I wanted to make sure that I gave out those resources, because a lot of times we don't know that those rent payment services are available when you're trying to rebuild your credit, when you're trying to establish credit, and you know that you're making payments that are large. And so a lot of lenders, when you're looking to purchase a house, they're looking to compare your credit to see if there's any comparable credit on your credit report to be able to say if you're credit worthy in a certain area. So if it's a $1,400 mortgage payment that you're looking to take on, and they don't see that type of payment anywhere on your credit report to determine if, you know, you've been making your payments on time, it's going to be hard for them to say, you know, yes, especially if your credit is not, you know, perfect. And so we just want to do, you know, just the little things that can help us be able to increase our credit and put us in a better financial situation in the long run.
I've got to put this out there. Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, NACA, and their website is NACA.com. They have the best mortgage in America, no down payment, no closing costs, no fees, and they give you a below rate fixed market mortgage. And right now, for low to moderate income people and communities, their 30-year fixed mortgage, folks, is 1.875. If you were to do a 15-year fix, 1.25. So for those that are low to moderate, they're going to make sure they, and folks, it may take about a year to go through their program, but they're going to teach you budgeting, how to work on your different, how to work to save an emergency fund, things that you need to become a homeowner. And these are program, this program is designed to help those who are low to moderate income get in there. They help those who have others who make higher money, but these great rates are for those that are low to moderate. Higher income people, they're looking at 2.875 on a 30-year fix. And then they've got the 15 years, 2.25, but those are still great rates. So, folks, resources are out there and available, and they can help. You just have to look for them and sometimes know, as we've been saying, willing to ask. Marilyn, so we see these advertisements. They're littered throughout low-income communities, on the telephone poles in different places where they can help you clean your credit in 30 days. Can you fix somebody's credit in 30 days, Marilyn?
No, it takes 30 days. When you pay off an account, it takes at least 30 days for them to even report it to the credit bureau, which means that it will most likely take about 60 days to actually show up on your credit bureau. And so I'm so glad that you asked this question, because when you were just talking about, you know, a program, a year-long program, that is a nice amount of time. That's a good amount of time, a realistic amount of time to get your credit in the right place. So many times we want things like yesterday. You know, we want something, you know, overnight, quick and easy and fast. You know, but those things don't last. You know, so you want to make sure that you're taking the right steps possible to come up with a system, you know, come up with a process that becomes your normal. It becomes your routine. And so that's why it takes about a year. It takes at least 9 months to a year for you to be able to take your credit score from a 500 maybe to at least a 675, you know, or maybe even a set over 700. But it's little things that you have to do to make sure that you're not only able to work on your credit, but you're also able to maintain your credit. And so a lot of times people will ask, well, how are your FICO scores calculated? How do they even come up with your score? Well, there's five areas of credit data in your credit report that is used. And so those categories are, one, payment history. Your payment history weighs 35% of your FICO score. So it's very important that you make all of your payments on time. Anything that's reported to the credit bureau needs to be paid on time. So you got to get in that habit. It's a habit. The second category is amounts owed. 30% of your creditors, 30% of your trade lines is weighed upon your FICO score. And a lot of times that 30% really is geared toward how you're using your credit cards. So you don't want to use no more than 30% of your available credit, of your credit limit on your credit card. Going over into, if you have to carry a balance over into the next month, you want to make sure that it's less than 30% of your credit limit. And then the third category is length of credit history. 15% of your score is weighed in this area, length of credit history. So one rule of thumb, don't close out your credit cards when you get it to a zero balance. So you want to make sure that you're able to show that it's at a zero balance and that you're able to you're able to manage it. And so you don't have to use it, but periodically maybe use it for gas and then pay it off in that month. You know, but you don't want to close it out. You don't want to close it out once you get it to a zero balance. That will hurt your credit. And then the fourth category is new credit, 10%. 10% is weighed on your credit report when it comes to new credit. And then the fifth category is the credit mix, which is 10%. 10% is weighed on your credit score when it comes to credit mix. And what that means is, you know, you should always have at least one installment loan and one revolving account. And a revolving account is your credit cards. You should have at least one credit card. And if you're unable to get a credit card at the time, there's two things that you can do. One, you can actually reach out to your financial institution and see if they offer secured credit cards where you take your money and you put it on that secured credit card. So it could be as little as $300. And then you would use it the same way that you would use an unsecured credit card. And so I always say, the best way to use a secured credit card is take one of the areas on your budget that you budgeted, whether it's groceries or whether it's gas, pay for it with using your secured credit card in that month. But then at the end of the month, you take what you've already set aside and you pay that off every month. And that will help you build up your credit. And as far as an installment loan is a fixed rate where your payment is the same every month. So that could look like an auto loan. That can look like your mortgage. That can look like a student loan. That can also look like a small personal loan. And so you should always have at least one installment loan to have a great credit mix. And so sometimes people will say that, well, I don't have any installment loans. I don't have an auto loan that reports to the credit bureau, and I don't have a mortgage. Well, go to your financial institution and see if you can get a small dollar loan. It could be a $300 loan, and then just show that you're being able to make your payment on time. Well, let's say if you're unable to get an installment loan at the time because your credit is not If you're unable to get a small dollar loan because your credit is not where it needs to be, then that's when I would encourage you to build up your savings account to at least $1,000, right? Once you get to that $1,000 mark, take your $1,000 out of the basic savings and you put that into a money market savings. Once you put it into a money market savings, that opens up opportunities for you to be able to borrow from yourself. And so now you can borrow from yourself a small dollar loan of like $300. And now you're paying yourself back but it's also reporting to the credit bureau. So that's just a couple of things that you can do to establish or even reestablish or rebuild your own credit.
We're running out of time and there's a lot more topics. So what I would like to do is have you back in about 4 weeks and we continue the subject, because there is more on credit and what people need to know than we can ever cover in just 1 hour. So would that be okay with you, Marilyn?
That is okay. I would love to come back.
Okay. So as we close out, because we got a few minutes left here, what type of youth financial literacy programs are you beginning to offer, and what type of adult financial literacy programs are you offering right now?
Absolutely. So for our adults, we offer personal financial coaching. So you can always go to our website, letsexceed.org, and just click on contact us and go ahead and set up a time to set up a consultation. We also collaborate with different organizations here in Kansas City, to where we bring our program to the other organizations and do a 6-week financial plan with them or financial program with them. We also have a youth financial leadership program for ages 14 through 21. Our next cohort, which is cohort 7, begins September 28th through October 14th. Once they graduate from that, then they can become a youth trailblazer, and we meet every other Wednesday youth trailblazer. And so you can go onto our website to be able to actually see those. But we're not only an organization that offers tools, we also offer resources. And so we have our next coat drive that is coming up. So if you want to be a partner, want to be a drop-off location for us to be able to take in donations for our coat drive, coats, hats, and mittens, definitely contact us. Go to our website, contact us, and let us know that you want to partner with us.
So we're going to bring you back. And folks, all of this is a plan to put out this good information, because next week there's going to be a home. Next week we're going to bring in Tanisha Brown of Keys Realty, and we're talking about the home fall homes tour, which is going to be a little bit different this year due to COVID. But you know, we've had LaDonna Ali on, and I'm trying to work to get Naka, but I'm also going to bring Marilyn back, because we want everybody to succeed and exceed even their own expectations. And by just doing tiny things, the tiny things move a mountain after a larger time, just small action. So, Marilyn, can you give out that website one more time, and we'll have you back in about 4 weeks to continue this conversation?
Absolutely. It's letsexceed.org. So that's letsexceed.org.
So I want to thank Marilyn for being our guest today. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Victorious Life Church, located at 3400 Paseo, will have a Get Vaccinated Sunday this Sunday, September 5th, from 10 a.m. to noon in Fellowship Hall. To register or to get more information, go vlckc.com. Krispy Kreme is offering 2 free donuts to those who've been vaccinated through September 5th. All you have to do is show your vaccination card to receive free donuts. So if you got the vaccination card, you've been vaccinated, go to Krispy Kreme. They'll give you 2 free donuts. Convoy of Hope will have a drive-through event at Macedonia Church, located at 1700 Linwood, next Saturday, September 11th, from 10 a.m. while supplies last. So for more information on the volunteer, go to macedoniakc.org. Councilman Brandon Ellington will host his first Friday event at Sorry Steakhouse and Oyster House tomorrow, 1512 East 18th Street. The event is scheduled from noon to 2. It's a lot of information, but if you want to come out, you have to buy your own meal, but it's a great way to come out and get information. Also, Councilman Ellington will host a food distribution event this Saturday, September 4th, from 10 a.m. to noon at Mount Sinai Church, located at 3634 Brooklyn. For Cowtown Conversations, it's been your host, Joseph Jackson. Join us next week as our conversations continue with Tanisha Brown of Keys Realty, and we will discuss the 2021 Fall Homes Tour. I hope everyone has a great day. Stay safe, wear a mask, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
Mm-hmm.